This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
That time of the week when we talk to Richard Pascoe, our tech guy here at Fab FM, and he has so much wisdom. He's like a guru. He spouts all this stuff out, and it's real, and it's true, and it's on his website as well. Is that a big enough build-up for you?
Wow, that's I don't know when I've ever heard such a big build-up, Paul. So, yes, you're going to be resoundingly disappointed, folks, but now, yes, we'll go on.
We're going to build up the podcast, mate. Don't put it down.
Yeah, we do. Yes.
Okay.
Oracle is a good word.
Oh, I like Oracle. I'll use that next week.
Yep, there we go. Oracle.
I will use that next week. Now, the first one, paying invoices over the internet. You reckon we should look closely at this?
Oh, I think we need to, Paul. I actually spoken to a couple of people this week. It's that time of year, and if you're in business, you need to especially listen about what I'm about to tell you. I had a client yesterday who rang, and I've had others who've done this, and they're in real estate, and somebody was making a regular $10,000 payment to a broker about whatever they were transacting for the real estate part on that. And then suddenly an invoice came through that they would normally go along and pay the $10,000 for, but the BSB and account number had changed up the top.
Ooh.
They were about to change and do it, but then they suddenly remember that they'd heard me say this once before, and they rang the person and said, have you changed your BSB and account number? They said, no, we haven't. So what had happened was that scammers, and they had, you know, had got into the other clients who, you know, who's sending out the invoices all the time, had got into their email account and had duplicated it, changed the BSB and account number. Now, if they pressed transfer, it would have gone offshore.
Wow.
And that would be the end of the money. So my standard rule is if you regularly pay somebody and they change their BSB and account number, you get on the phone, you ring them and make sure it's actually them, because I did have one client lose $16,000 over this.
Wow, that's a lot of dough. And look, I guess the obvious question, you may be getting to this, but the obvious question is how the hell could they get that, know about that particular account and the amount of money exactly?
They're infected on their computer, Paul.
Ah.
So, you know, the common thing has been that the people issuing the invoice out are running old systems, old Office on there as well, haven't updated, don't have many security protocols in place.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. That is a big trap, because a lot of people sending money out, you just know them, you recognise them as being, oh, yes, that's the normal one we get this time of the month.
Yeah, well I normally pay Paul and Richard $1,000 a month. If you can do that, if you can please send it to us, it'd be great.
Good. Let me write down your address. Post Office Box.
The Paul and Richard Retirement Fund. Post Office Box 47.
Is that
Paul
in
Douglas. Call Centre Stand, yes.
What is the postcode at Call Centre Stand?
It's 666.
Absolutely. Any more to add to that?
No, just be really careful. So as I said before, if it changes, BSB and account numbers change, get on the phone and call.
Good stuff. What is Chromebook?
A Chromebook, Paul, is a Google laptop. Now, they're in stores, they're not promoted very heavily, but they do suit a lot of people out there, because basically all they run is a Google Chrome operating system, which means that it's got to be connected to the internet all the time. So if you've got one of these at home, great. It's a great little laptop on there. It's not a Windows laptop. It's not an Apple laptop. But they don't get much publicity out there. But if you've got a Gmail account, you browse on the internet, you like go to Facebook, you do some emails, do very basic things on there, a Chromebook might be for you. Very cheap, Paul. They start around about the $300 mark. Great battery life in them because they're connected to the internet. They don't do anything really heavily CPU, you know, to stretch it. Great security on there as well. Because it's a different operating system, no viruses, no malware.
Mm, sounds good.
And everything is stored in the cloud at Google. So, you know, you see, you got a document, you use Google Doc, edit it, it goes up into the cloud. So if you lost your Chromebook, you basically go buy another one, log in, it's all there.
Good stuff. We're talking with FabFM tech guy Richard Pasco. Richard, smartphone sales, I mean, how are they going? What's the state of the nation with that?
Third quarter of 2020, Paul, around the world, 360 million smartphones got sold. So that actually went down 3.6% on the same quarter of last year ago.
Oh, they went down.
Went down. Now, from here on in, since Apple announced about the 5G iPhones as well, that's all you're really going to hear now. So there's lots of manufacturers are going to come out with cheaper 5G phones. Samsung is still the number one maker of smartphones in the world. They sold 80.6 million units. They grew by 2.6%. Huawei, which is probably President Trump's least favourite company of all, because he's given them a hammering since day one, they're number two. They sold 51 million units, but declined 21% over last year. There is another Chinese brand called Xiaomi. They're number three with 45.5 million units sold. Expect to see more of those phones around. They grew 37%. Stuff out of China is still growing in sales, Paul. But as for Apple, that ended up at number four. Now, it was quite interesting because in that quarter, there were no sales of the new iPhones. So we can expect them to grow. They sold 41.1 million units. Down just 5%. Those sales figures are not bad considering what we've gone through as far as COVID around the world in the last 3 months.
Absolutely. And yeah, but interesting, it's just down a little bit, but never mind. I don't think we'll have any telethons for the Apple people.
They're not going broke, let me tell you.
That's right. Hey, listen, you promised this and you've delivered. You said that you'd have some Christmas tech suggestions. So tell us, what are your suggestions for this week?
Now, all of these are up on the website right now because we're going to belt through these as well. So if you're after a top-end smartphone, the Apple iPhone 12 Pro Max, which is the large one, and I actually swapped my phone last week to go to the really big one. Magnificent. That's at $1,849. If you're on the Android side, I really like the Google Pixel 5. That's $999. If you're after a budget smartphone, the Google Pixel 4a is $599. The Apple iPhone SE, $679, which is a great price for an iPhone. Laptops, the Apple MacBook Pro, which I've got at the moment, I think is the fastest laptop I've ever used, Paul. It is incredibly quick.
Wow.
Wonderful, wonderful device. So that starts at just on $2,000. But there's the Surface Laptop Go, which comes from Microsoft as well. That's $999. But I say to people, if you're going to buy a laptop at Christmas time or any time, try and spend at least $1,000 on it. Then you'll get that 5 or 6 years of good use out of it, all being well. The cheaper laptops, they tend to go after about 2 to 3 years. When it comes to tablets, Paul, Apple are king on the tablets. The iPad is $499 is the basic tablet for most people out there. If you need something a bit more powerful on there, because you might edit video on your iPad, a lot of people do that, the iPad Air, $899, a super fast tablet.
Good stuff. And people, you know, people do edit videos these days, and that would be the one for it.
That's right.
Okay, crap tech item of the week. This may be where I get the beeper thing out. I hate even to say it, Shave Santa.
It's an app you can put on your phone so you can shave Santa. They put on there going, they put on there as well. Well, here we go. We're started already.
When you're saying shave Santa, you're just talking about his beard or what?
The first quote that they put on their website, he's not so jolly when shaved. Now, can I just say, Mrs. Claus might be a bit happier when he's shaved on there as well. But, yes, now it says, be warned, Santa isn't always so jolly, especially when why do we need to shave Santa, Paul? Seriously.
Well, I suppose it's a bit of fun because, you know, we have Movember and we have all of those little things. Oh, shaving Santa. Wouldn't that be fun to shave Santa?
It would be too. I wonder if Mrs. Claus ever gets some out to give him a shave.
Hang on, whoa.
I wonder if Mrs. Claus ever gets his out to give him a bit of a shave.
He's why? But the don't. Do you reckon the need a shave?
They might be. Well, if you look at the hair on his face, you just wonder what the hair down below. So yes.
Yeah. Well, you can't say that. I've just beeped it all.
Yeah, there we go. So, yeah.
That's all right.
So they say, open up shop and start shaving your most valued clients. Santa and Rudolph are only in town. Give them custom beard designs as well.
Right.
Getting them ready for the big night. So they say you can choose between Santa and Rudolph and other favourite Christmas characters. I was at a struggle to remember anything apart from Santa and Rudolph. What, have you got any other favourite Christmas characters, Paul?
Oh, well, of course, the little elves that make the toys. Don't forget them. Don't forget the little elves.
Yeah, but do you really want to shave your little elf? And that's a euphemism if ever I've heard one.
No, I don't want to shave my elf. That would be an elf hazard.
It's gold.
It's gold. It's gold. Oh, dear.
So you can cut and trim their hair with scissors, razor blade and clippers. We don't want to put
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How can, when you say shave, it's not, you don't get actually shaving cream or anything out. It's all done digitally.
Digitally, yes. Gotcha. On there. So it's fun for all the family.
If only you could say digitally.
Digitally.
It's an awful word. Hey, listen, would you need any rash cream or would you need...
Oh, yes, you do. They can put a bit of rash cream on there and apply aftershave and wait for the reaction as well. So if you ever do shave your don't put aftershave on there because it'll be disastrous.
Yeah, I had to beep the word... I had to beep...
I know that, yes.
Yeah, I can't use those. Well, I just think it's distasteful. I really do.
It is. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. Now, let's go off onto a tangent, if we haven't already gone off onto a tangent, and things that aren't around anymore. Now, look, I've been thinking about this, and there are some things that aren't around anymore or might be around, but they're soon to say goodbye to. Here's something, and it's worth thinking about, paper maps.
Yes,
like,
they're gone.
I don't think they're gone completely, but you used to, when they were on sale at every service station around Australia, and you'd get the map out, and you'd say, oh, okay, now we're in Albury now, how do we get to Cairns or whatever? But now, of course, it's all GPS.
Exactly right. And, you know, you remember when you used to pick up your Gregory Street directory?
Oh, yes, the Gregory Street directory. I wonder if they still make them. And if they do, it would be a very small amount of people using a street directory these days.
I saw them the other week, Paul, believe it or not, in a news agency.
Get out of here. How much?
I think it was about $25.
Not only these days do you have the GPS and you have all that stuff, but your phone, your own phone can just, it's amazing what you can do now. You just go in, say you have an appointment, right? And you know this, but some people mightn't know this. So you go there, we'll just go to an appointment I have in Cairns next week, right? So we go here, put the address, we just click on the address in your diary, get directions and say... Go.
Starting route to 116 McLeod Street.
There you go.
There we go.
And you just, and that's in your car, and it's your GPS on your phone. So
proceed to Wharf Street.
Oh, shut
then
up.
Then turn right.
Shut up.
You can do another thing. Number One and I do this as well, Paul.
Should we explain to people who've just tuned in? Number One is a friend of ours in Adelaide called Ralph.
That's exactly right. So, so what Ralph and I do when we have
in
to meet some...
1.2 kilometres, turn right...
Oh, shut up.
Shut up, Siri.
Thank you. Sorry, what were you saying?
So when Ralph and I designed to meet at a certain place, which is normally a drinking establishment, as well, I will go and key it into my phone and I can share my arrival time with Ralph. So it pops up on his phone and say Richard is 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away from the pub.
So you don't have to ring up and say, look, I'm running 5 or 10 minutes late.
No.
He already knows that.
You know, if you get delayed in traffic, he already knows that. So, yes.
Oh, I think that's fabulous. Hey, listen, what's the thing that is no longer in your life?
Polaroid cameras, Paul.
Oh, Polaroid. Hey, they've brought them back, I thought.
Yeah, but not in the same way, Paul. So for all the kids out there, it was all about you you take the photo, your photo would come out of the camera. You would wave it up and down for, I reckon, it was about a minute, wasn't it, Paul?
It was. Now, listen, I want to ask, why did we ever wave them? I don't understand with the waving.
Well, you're taking a photo of something and you had to flap it in the breeze at the time. Supposedly...
What did that? Maybe that sort of spread out the chemicals or something?
I would think it probably helped the picture come out slightly better. But you always had to wave it about.
Sure.
And you had to do... Yes. So you wave it and then you peel it off and then suddenly you'd have this... very average photo to go along and look at. But it was marvellous, yeah.
But, you know, you talk about Polaroid cameras and how exciting they were at the time, and they were, because it was like back then, way back then. What years are we talking about with Polaroids? Are we talking about 60s or 70s?
What was 60s.
It? 60s?
So late 60s and very early 70s.
Well, the Polaroid camera was like today, where you can just take a photo with your actual phone.
Yes.
Polaroids were... Because usually before Polaroid cameras, you had to take your film, some people say film, but your film to the... No, I know a few people who say film. You'd had to take your film to a chemist, and sometimes you'd wait up to a week or 10 days to get your photos back. Here was Polaroid instant like that. It was an amazing thing at the time.
Or we used to take it to the supermarket as well. And I had a 13-year career in the supermarket when I left school.
Oh.
Can I just say, if you ever dropped your film into a supermarket at the time when you know, and this happened in nearly every supermarket, and let's just say you were an attractive young lady when you did that, can I just say that everybody went through your photos before we actually passed them on to you after they got developed, just in case.
That is true, because that was always a rumour that those people in the supermarkets at those photo developing places always checked the photos out. And there was a rumour going around you didn't. People said, no, we didn't, but you're confirming you did.
I'm confirming it, that it was common that if somebody would come along, it would be all around going, hey, did you see the girl up the front putting the camera in the film? In, wait until she comes back. So, yes.
Oh, that's a voyeurism.
And I'd like to apologise for doing that.
Yeah, well, you should apologise. That's an invasion. That's an invasion of privacy.
Different time back then, Paul, but
yes,
I would like to apologise for that.
Oh, good. I'm glad. After all these years, you've apologised. Let's hope she's listening. Yeah. The chance of that is a million to one, but never mind. Well, mate, that is fantastic. I'll have another thing off on a tangent, and so will you.
I've got a great one for next week.
Oh, good. I've got a great one too. What's yours start with the letter what?
E.
All right. Mine starts with the letter F.
Okay, then.
Now, what's your website?
Head over to talktech.com.au. All of those Christmas tech suggestions are up there. I'm going to put up a new list every week.
Fabulous. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Richard.
Look forward to it, Paul.